Had some very excellent reports from the 10 o'clock meditation, so I think we'll just continue those straight on through into the August seminar. Every morning, 10 a.m., 7 days a week, straight on through to August 8th. And now I've got to give you some difficult assignments, which you can use in the 10 a.m. meditations, and also in your other meditations during the week. Because you must be true to identity, you must learn now to accept that every demonstration made in the Bible by Christ is a perfect condition of your own being now. Christ fed 5,000, and therefore you must know that your being is feeding 5,000. Now, you won't understand this just by memorizing it. And so what we've got to do is take each of the assignments individually and study it out together, but so that you can pace yourself and plan your month, I'll give you the assignments right now, and then we'll discuss them. There might be 7 or 8 or 9, depending how they fall, and you are to space them out, so that you do one day as best you can. And the first one I'd like to suggest is that you live a day, a real total day, being the invisible reality of everything that you see. That's the first assignment. Be the invisible reality of what you see. It doesn't matter what it is you see, it isn't out there. But invisibly out there is identity, which you are. And consciously know this and practice this. Now, we're going to do that later, but I first want to annotate the other assignments. Number two, because you are Christ, whose name is I need nothing. I need nothing. That is your assignment, and it could be the third day instead of the second day. We'll discuss that too in a moment. I need nothing. Isn't that true? I need nothing. So that will be assignment number two. Now on the third assignment, you usually are speaking to the human beings around you. They are the second born. Your assignment is to speak to the firstborn. Speak to identity. You had a touch of this many times in our work, and now we're making it a specific assignment. Speak to the firstborn. Your fourth assignment is to find your greatest fault and to heal yourself of it. Cleanse your greatest fault. Your fifth one is, I have no physical body. I have no physical body. Your sixth one is, I have dominion. Nothing is impossible to I, because I have dominion. Let's go on. I think we've had six, but let's take a few more. I am inseparable from God. I am inseparable from God. The next one is, I see spiritually. The next one is, I am not at the mercy of man or condition. I've left out a few, but you have quite a number there to work with. And I'd like to now go into the actual working of them with you. Now, I'm well aware that some of us have an advantage. We don't have to report to that office in the morning. And I'm well aware that some of you have a very busy office schedule. But the secret of this is that is precisely why you're getting these assignments. I want you to live in your identity. Not in the false sense of self, which is rushing from appointment to appointment. And so number one is, be the invisible reality of what you see. Now, how are you going to do that? The first thing is that you must practice this before you head out into this world. Are you going to live today in a false sense of self or in reality? Are you going to escape from yourself like Jonah tried to do, or are you going to face the truth that you must be yourself? And that's more important than anything else you can do. And so make up your mind to be Christ, to be the identity of all you see. You might practice it the night before or early in the morning before you head out. And let's see how we're going to do that now. I must first know who I am. I must know that everywhere I go, the only one there will be identity. How foolish of me to see individual people when God is no respecter of persons. God is a respecter only of identity. If I see individual persons, I'm going to be in the whirlpool of individual conditions. Identity has only one condition, its own perfection. It has no other conditions. Nothing happens outside of identity. And unless I stand in the knowledge that everywhere is identity invisible, I will be in the dream fabric, in the chaos and the confusion of the world. I may even have a successful human day and accomplish absolutely nothing while doing it. And so identity is my theme for the first day's work. Identity is everyone in my family, everyone in my office, everyone in the department store, everyone in every shop that I shall enter, every client, every associate. Identity is everyone in every nation. Identity is not a criminal. Identity is not the bickering of a politician. Identity is not the corruption of an official. I am too pure to behold anything but identity. And that identity of everything that I see is my identity. I am integrating my universe. I am in conscious union with identity. I am true to identity. And of course, to maintain this, I will have to remind myself to be still, to return to the knowledge that only identity is present, and not to accept the babbling of the world. Not to accept the tempest tossing the ship. I am taking everyone in the world out of the tomb of a sinking ship, out of the tomb of mortality, out of the tomb of misidentity. Now, who says that I cannot do this for one day? The only one who would say that would be the world-minded me, saying, oh, for a whole day. Why, that's nothing. You're not only going to do it for a day, you're going to learn to do it forever by learning to do it for a day. And so that's tomorrow's work. Tomorrow you begin identifying all you see for that day as your invisible identity. And if you want to, there's nothing to prevent you from starting that before you go to sleep tonight. I am identity. I am not finite, and therefore my infinite identity is everywhere. And I will spend one day doing the normal prosaic things that a person does in this world, but behind it all will be my complete knowledge that I am identity, and I will do this to the best of my ability. And what will happen? It will be a Christ day you never will forget. It will make the crooked places straight. It will exalt the valleys and lower the mountains. It will be such a beautiful day that you'll wonder why in the world it came so late in your life. But one glorious day, you will be one of the few Christians on earth living in Christ identity everywhere. Now you may find that the second day you're not ready to go into another assignment. And so you can, if you wish, rest that day, planning your assignment for the third day. You can spend the second day thinking about what you're going to do on the third day when you begin your next assignment. Or you can do the second, or on the second day you can review the results of the first day. The point is that on the second day you don't have to stand on tiptoe as much as you did. Relax. Go over what happened the first day or plan the third day. But be ready for that second assignment the next day. And that second assignment is, I need nothing. Humanly, we don't think that way at all. We can make an inventory of things we need that so long as Santa Claus couldn't begin to fulfill it. But identity is all. I feed 5,000. I am spirit. God is my heritage. I am substance. I am the very tree of spirit itself. This is your knowledge on the third day, in the second assignment. I need nothing. I have everything I need. My identity is self-complete in God. And now here comes the signal or the warning of a shortage, of a lack, a limitation. To whom is that coming? It's coming to a false sense of self. The human is always lacking something, but I am identity. I have. And I stand in my substance as the tree of spirit. And from the very tree of my own life, all that I need flows forth as spiritual fruit. My constant companion is the will and the wisdom of the Father, living itself, growing itself into manifestation. On this day, when you practice, I need nothing, you are not only accepting identity as Christ, but you are accepting the self-completion of identity. And every temptation of the world mind that says to you that you are lacking or limited is met with, get thee behind me, Satan. I need nothing. I have because I am living Christ, the living substance, and out of my substance all is fulfilled. Before the human thinks of asking, I am. I would practice that for a good half hour. the night before. Maybe during the night at 3 a.m. if I happen to wake up accidentally. And then when I awaken in the morning, I would practice again. I need nothing. I have. All that the Father hath is mine now and forever. And then when I go out into the world, regardless of what I am called about to do, within my consciousness is the knowledge that I already have. I contain within myself the fullness of the kingdom of God. And whatever is needed must flow across my consciousness today because it is there, complete in my consciousness. Now, who says you can't do that for one day? How different to walk the world in Christ identity and to walk out in the morning wondering what the world is going to do to you today. What new event is going to upset you? This is your new country. In identity. And on the fourth day, you can rest again. We'll make every second day a Sabbath to review what has happened before and to think of what you're going to do the following day. So here you come to the third assignment on the fifth day. Oh, this is a tough one. Do not speak to the second born. Speak only to the first born. On the first day you knew identity. On the third day you accepted that you have because you are identity. And now everywhere you see identity, that is what you speak to. Not the second born, the you man, the shadow of a man. You speak to the first born. So you're really speaking to your own identity. That's why you're going to speak with understanding. With wisdom. Because you love your identity. And you will see through what is not identity and know that what is not identity does not exist. Christ is all. Identity is all. There is no tempest. There is no lack. There is no corruption. There is no evil. How can there be when only identity is there? Acknowledge identity in all thy ways. Speak to identity. Listen to identity. Do not hear the words that are not spoken by identity. Those words are not for you. And then you will see that you have eyes that see and ears that hear. And when you speak, it will be the voice of identity, a voice with substance. You will be speaking in tongues, spiritual tongues, words that manifest with power. When you speak from identity to identity, when you listen to identity with the ears of identity, so you have an interesting third day ahead of you. Or is that the fifth day? The third lesson on the fifth day. By the time we come to the fourth lesson on the seventh day, it may not be a difficult lesson at all, because it is to cleanse yourself of your greatest fault. It's just possible that in your first three lessons, you've gone a long way in that direction. But there might be a residue, or two or three. And so that will be the lesson to cleanse yourself, first by identifying your greatest fault. Then to think out what you're going to do about eliminating your greatest fault. And then on that special day, to go about the business of eliminating that special fault by holding it up to your Christ identity and seeing that there is no fault in Christ. Hold it up to the light of Christ. Physician, heal thyself. Maybe you're a very resentful person. Well, Christ doesn't resent. Maybe you're a jealous person. Maybe you're envious or greedy. Or maybe your vanity is showing through. Many of us can find our greatest fault if we want to. But if you have a fault at all, what is it telling you? It's telling you that you're in the wrong identity, because Christ has none. And so the moment you seek your fault, you are eliminating the false sense of self which denies Christ, I am. So that will be a very important lesson. There's also a very good possibility that these lessons are going to be more than a day's work. They might stick to your ribs, become a daily habit later. In our fifth lesson, our fifth assignment, I have no physical body. This would be about the 10th day, I guess, or the 9th day. And finally, you've come to a point where you've got to make a stand. This is really cleansing the temple beyond all belief. You really have no physical body, you know. When God says, I have no respecter of persons, another translation would be very apropos. I am no creator of persons, and therefore no respecter of persons. I am no creator of human bodies. And however much we may have been shocked by that at one time, it would be more shocking if now we accepted God to be the creator of human bodies, especially when we see what happens to them. God is no creator, no respecter of human bodies, and therefore I, Christ, have no human body. And the demonstration of the Christ becomes lucidly clear. I have no human body to crucify. I have the mystical body of Christ. The invisible body, the spiritual body, the essence, the one body, the body of God. One invisible mystical body. And this body has to become real to you. Not just a series of words. In your human body, when it is working well, the white blood cells do this and the red blood cells do that. Certain functions are automatic. You don't even give them any thought. You don't stop and think how often your heart should beat. And you don't direct the flow of blood through your arteries and your veins. In your invisible, mystical body, certain automatic things happen always. It is always feeding itself. Do you see the meaning of, I can feed 5,000? Just think. There are more than the so-called 5,000 in the one invisible mystical body. Everyone on this earth is that body. I feed more than 5,000. I feed all who walk the earth because they are all one invisible body. And that is what's happening always. That's why you can say, I feed 5,000. It's an automatic thing in the invisible body of reality. I am always in harmony. I have no pains. I don't need a chiropractor. I don't need a masseur. I don't need a pill. I don't need an operation. I am the perfect invisible body. I have no other. And every time another body is called to my attention, it is saying, uh-oh, you're a prodigal. You don't accept identity, do you? Identity is the perfect invisible, infinite body of Christ. That is your body. And that is your fifth lesson. I have no physical body. I have the infinite spiritual body. Thou seest me, thou seest the invisible body of the Father. I have my own built-in physician. But it isn't enough to make these statements. Nor is it enough to believe them. you must go further. You must also believe that whatever denies it is untrue. And therefore, the jolting pain in the side, the little pain across the eyebrow, the little pain in the hips, the little pain in the arms, the little pain in the ball of your feet, all of these are saying you don't have the invisible infinite body. But who's saying this? The world mind is saying it to false identity. And here's something you can depend on. Error is known only to error. All pain, suffering, evil, disease, or whatever you think is in some way come into your life is only a reminder that error has hypnotized you into believing that you are not identity, that you are not the invisible body of spirit, and you are. And you must laugh through the error until, by your knowledge that you are the invisible body of the Father, the invisible body of Christ, identity will readjust. Identity will rebuke the devil. That's your fifth lesson. I find that to be a very productive lesson. It always does good. And I think you will find the same. I have dominion. Lesson number 6. I have dominion. Now, we're not saying that a human being has dominion. Johnny does not have dominion. Lillian does not have dominion. Richard does not have dominion. Who has dominion? I, Christ, have dominion. Identity has dominion. Nothing is impossible to identity. And therefore, if you do not have dominion, it is because you are trying to have human dominion. You are trying to run a human world with human power, human might, human mentality. But on this day, when you take your sixth assignment, you will have been strengthening identity. And you will trust identity to have dominion. Now, I would like to clarify what that means, to trust identity to have dominion. Let's suppose that something happens to you that is very unwanted. Somebody sticks their hand into your pocket and steals your wallet. A tire blows out. Little things or even big things. Because I have dominion is the fact, that which denies I have dominion is not the fact, but is the world suggestion. You've got to look at that busted tire and that stolen wallet, not as a fact that happened. Just imagine. That which appeared to happen did not happen in identity. It happened while you were out of identity. I have dominion. And if you have been living in I, if there's a flat tire, it will happen right next to the gasoline station. And for all you know, it will happen before something worse might have happened if the flat tire hadn't happened. And the stolen wallet, in some way, will either be recovered, or you can simply know that some good has been done unknown to you. Because I have dominion. And you've got to come to the point where everything that is an undesirable event is turned around in your consciousness to tell you either that you are out of I at the time, or that which you think is an evil happening is not, because the dominion of I is always present doing its job. And its job is not to protect a human being at all, as you would have thought. Its job is to maintain the integrity of its own perfect, invisible selfhood. And it does. Don't try to use I to make a better human being, but live in the knowledge that I have dominion. And that dominion will manifest to you in ways you know not of. I can think of a dozen ways in which so-called bad events were not bad events at all. And so can you. Because I is always maintaining the perfection of its own identity. And it is your identity. And maybe after you've tried this particular assignment, you will learn to look at the so-called crises in life and the little daily tragedies in life and recognize them for what they are. They're just little sheepdogs nipping at your heels, trying to get you back in line to be I. And the minute you do, the sheepdog doesn't nip you anymore. The little tragedies become fewer and further between. The little harmonies creep in. The peace creeps in. I really have dominion. Because I, identity, is the only power. It is the perfect power, which needs no power because it is the only power. Now, there are going to be some interesting revelations coming to you from this exercise that I have dominion. We have about two or three more. I am inseparable from God. Takes us up about to the 12th day, I guess. I am inseparable from God. Now you know this is the truth. Live it out. Make it the substance of that day. I go to the Father. I abide in the Father. The Father abides in me. I'm not speaking of your human self, but again, I'm speaking of I. And I hope you're hearing with the ears of I. What about your human selfhood while this is all going on? What human selfhood? God is no creator of a human selfhood. The whole purpose of these lessons is for you to realize there is no human selfhood. Identity is not your human selfhood. Identity is all you are. Identity is its own invisible body of spirit. What about this human selfhood? I thought you threw that overboard. We're learning to let the whale swallow that. And we're willing to live inside that darkness for quite a while. And when we have accomplished our mission, the whale will spit us out. That's the narrow way. And then when you come to the next lesson, the next assignment, you will be able to really say it. I see spiritually. I see. Whereas once I was blind, now I see. I see. The human selfhood was blind, but I see. That's your seventh lesson. Seventh or eighth assignment. I see spiritually. What I see with human eyes, I do not see. That's not seeing. That's making images. Making images in the mind is not seeing. Seeing is seeing spirit. Seeing reality. And identity sees reality. Identity sees reality so perfectly that it rejects every human claim. Christ only accepts the claims of God, not the claims of man. Christ lives in God and sees only God. I see spiritually. And what about the things you see with your eyes? Well, Christ saw them and redeemed them. Christ saw the cripple, and the cripple walked. Christ sees right through the form which is not identity. And this is rebuking the devil. Christ identifies identity, and that is seeing spiritually. You will see yourself spiritually. Now, this is going to be an exercise that we'll come back to many times, because one day you're going to really know the meaning of I see spiritually, and you're going to know it because you're living in identity. I think our friend Paul caught that very well. When he spoke of the Christ freeing him, delivering from the power of darkness, he said, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Did you catch what he said? Who hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Here's a man walking the earth saying, I have been translated into the kingdom of the Son of God. What did he mean? He must have been seeing spiritually. He must have been living spiritually. He was saying that I am the Christ, I am identity. Then he said, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? He was saying, I am not even Paul. You thought I was changed from Saul to Paul, but you're wrong. I was changed from Saul, the shadow of a man, to I, the Christ. I am identity, the image and likeness of God. I live in God, and God lives in me. God is his substance, his being. For by him were all things created. Here's a man called Paul saying, I am the substance of God who created all things. And you know he's not speaking about the human Paul, because that's why it was changed from Saul to Paul. To show you a transformation had occurred. But where was the transformation? Did material man become spirit? Or did material man learn that he wasn't there? And did soul reinterpret the truth and show that only spiritual man stood there? There was only I, Christ, where Saul seemed to have been. There's only I, Christ, where you seem to be. You will never be transformed physically. You are not a physical being now. That which will happen can only happen in consciousness. And in consciousness, as you drop the false sense of consciousness, the five-sense man, as you practice identity, you will discover that the identity you are practicing is what you are. There will be no actual change. That which you are not will dissolve in your consciousness. For by him, by the infinite spirit, were all things created, and that's all you can be. In heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things will be created by him and for him. Everything you see invisibly is the infinite spirit of your being. And he is before all things. And by him, all things consist. In your eighth or ninth assignment, I am not at the mercy of man. Why? Just as you are not there as a person, neither is any other man, or any other woman, or any other child. There is no person to be at the mercy of. Unless you're living in the false state of consciousness, which is a respecter of persons. Yes? It is not a simple matter to live mystically. But it is a glorious way of life, strewn with many apparent failures as well as many successes. Nine assignments, 18 days, with days in between those 18 days to find out what you didn't do that you should have and how you can improve doing what you're doing. And not only will it not interfere with your normal day's work, it will lift you into that consciousness which will improve your work, quicken your time, quicken your energies, release untold depths of your being. And unconsciously you'll find that instead of just doing an exercise a day, you're beginning to integrate them. And that's really fun, because they run together beautifully. And they run together automatically. You don't have to sit there and do it. We've been practicing identity because that is conscious union with God. Then we are rich, not poor, in spirit. Then we are not man who is buried in a tomb called body. You know, it may seem strange to us now, but the disciples never really knew that Jesus had been virgin born. We see it in the Bible, but they didn't know it. And I doubt that any of them knew it until he had long gone, except possibly John. Probably John. He didn't tell them that he had been born without a human father. That would have been the last thing in the world he wanted to tell them. If he had, they'd have said, "Oh, this is the Son of God, let's make him a king. Let him take us and lead us against Rome and free us." That wasn't the Christ mission. No, someone born of a virgin would have been too incredible. If they ever believed it, they'd have said, "He's the Messiah we've been waiting for, the human Messiah, or even the divine Messiah." But what would they have been thinking of? Betterment of the human condition, freedom from servitude to Rome, the end of humiliation. But for who? For one religion. Christ doesn't go to war. Christ doesn't lead armies. Christ doesn't attack people. Christ doesn't kill. Christ liberates all. The mission of Christ would have been thwarted, impossible, if if the story had got out that he had been virgin porn. But Mary knew, and Mary protected the infant in a way that the world should learn about. Mary pondered in her heart. You see the umbrella she built over his consciousness, the shield. Do you see that he grew up without a body consciousness? Do you see that you and I and every child in this world grows up with a body consciousness? Because our parents do not know that we are identity. Because our parents did not know that they are identity. They could not give us this umbrella, this shield of consciousness. If we had grown up shielded by the knowledge that our parents were living in identity, we too would have grown up in identity. But we were not, and they were not, aware of this truth. That's the reason we have to unlearn body consciousness and step out of the false sense of being in a body. It is a tomb. We are buried in bodies. The Christ mission is the immaculate conception of the world from material sense. Cease ye, world, from being man buried in a tomb called body. We are really learning to outgrow the physical body, as strange as that may seem. We're coming out of the second born, rising above the animal senses to the first born. The virgin born. He who was born of the Divine Father. We are healing ourselves of false identity. Healing ourselves of the mirage fabric of the world mind. I saw that in Joel one day. It was in March of 64 when he came to San Francisco to speak at the Masonic Temple. I think I mentioned it once before. We had gone down an aisle into the back, and I had taken him to a room where he could meditate before giving his talk. And when I left the room, it occurred to me that, gee, it was cold in there. And so I opened the door again, I tucked my head in, and I said, "Are you cold?" And this little man looked up at me, sort of surprised to hear a voice speak to him. Cold? He didn't even know what that meant. In 5 seconds of meditation, he was not in a physical body at all.